Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, November 20th, 2013 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Tomorrow I'll be at the OVASP AppSec conference in New York City. If you happen to be there, my talk is scheduled for 1 p.m. in Salon 2, if I got it right, 5th floor. So hope to see you there. I'll be talking about HTML5 and how to use it actually to enhance security. We got two real nice diaries by Mark Baggett today. First one introduces a new tool, VinPMEM. VinPMEM is a memory analyzer. Typically, you would use that, for example, as part of a forensic investigation to dump memory into a file, and it does this just nice. One of the advantages that Mark points out for this tool is that it's a little bit less known, so you're less likely going to see malware, for example, that is specifically trying to block this tool. The additional part, and of course, since it's Mark, there has to be a Python spin to this, is that it does come with a Python library that allows you to interactively read live memory. This is in particular useful if you, for example, reverse analyze malware or such, but you don't necessarily need the full memory, but also during pen tests, for example. I think I've heard the term sometimes used, offensive forensics, where instead of usually in defensive forensics, you try to collect as much evidence as you have. So you would collect all the memory, all the disk. In offensive forensics, you use the same techniques, like you're dumping memory, you're searching memory, you're searching the disk. But in order to keep your network footprint small, you're going to only read the data that's actually required to be read, that's actually interesting. So as Mark points out here, with VinPMEM, you can actually search the memory for strings and just extract, for example, all memory areas that include the string password or whatever you're interested in. So a pretty neat tool set for pen testers and forensicators alike. And if you're interested in it, Mark just posted these two diaries and he promises another one for later this week. And then just a quick update on the vBulletin hack that I mentioned yesterday. There's now an official statement by the folks from vBulletin.com that they are sure they did not get compromised by a Saturday in vBulletin, so that doesn't appear to be a problem. They got compromised via an insecure system they had around for development, I believe, and that system was compromised and then led to the compromise of the main site. But still, the main risk remains that your password that you used on vBulletin.com may have been leaked as a result. And according to Imperva, an exploit against JBoss 4 and 5 is making the rounds. This exploit was first released early this year in October, about a month ago, but the underlying vulnerability actually has been known since 2011, I believe. The problem here is that a lot of people don't know they're running JBoss. JBoss is a Java application server. It comes bundled with a lot of other software, like, for example, HP's application lifecycle management systems and such, McAfee, Symantec, all of them have products that do expose JBoss. And the exploit actually comes with a little Google query to find vulnerable systems. And according to that, about 20,000 or so systems are exposing the JBoss interface on the live internet. So if you are running any systems depending on JBoss, make sure you are patched. Talk to your vendors if it came bundled as part of another product. For example, for McAfee, that would be the Web Reporter product. It's listening on port 9111 according to the instructions in the exploit a script, and then also check out the Google query that finds these vulnerable systems against your own IP address ranges and servers or domains, so to see if you're inadvertently exposing this particular tool. And then there's an interesting new demo site that shows how to track users without cookies, and it sort of adds on a little bit to the caching header discussion we had earlier this week. The trick is that the website, instead of setting a cookie, just tries to figure out whether or not you already visited based on the fact whether or not you have a particular page in your cache. Now, to identify you, the site will use an e-tag. The e-tag or entity tag is a unique, essentially serial number that's typically used to cache content to identify if content changed. So by presenting you with an e-tag that you may have seen in the past, the server administrator will then be able to figure out whether or not you have this particular content already in your cache, and with that they will be able to identify you. Pretty tricky, of course, it doesn't work 100%. I wouldn't really use that sort of for authentication purposes. On the other hand, the e-tag header certainly is potentially useful as sort of a backup to existing authentication techniques to evade some of the cookie stealing techniques so that some attackers may employ. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.